We didn't talk about them dying. They go home. They return home. And then another one would be selected. You know, they would select people at birth and that would become part of this group. So my last teacher died in 1997 at the age of 97. He was born in 1900. So I had that opportunity to learn these things about the way the world looked before contact with the Western European worldviews. So anyway, I'll be passing whatever I can on about that. And so thank you for listening, and enjoy family day to day, because that's what the world is all about, families. And those of you First Nations people, if you can speak your language, eat all your food, dance your dances, sing your songs, if you walk away from your family, you destroy your culture.
A large man wearing green pants grabbed a woman by the hair and slammed her face into the glass window of a fire extinguisher case. He pulled her head back and hit her again, continuing to do so until the glass broke. The woman sustained deep cuts all over her face and eventually became unresponsive. The man then released his grip and she fell to the floor. This is a scene from an Emmy Award-winning cartoon. If we want violence against women to stop, shouldn't we stop treating it like a joke? Join the conversation at #NotOkay.
It's not just rich people that own the media.
But by leaving out the most important things you need to know, they can elevate awareness to a new all-time low.
I own my media.
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 The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members.
But if it's just left out, can you say the paper lied? A lot of things that happened didn't happen after all. If there's no one in the forest who will put it in the news, I guess the tree didn't fall.
Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
I'm joining today. You should too.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello, welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, where you might be listening online at cosmicdimensions.com, empowerradio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network, or you could be listening on CITR.ca. Today, happy Family Day if you're in British Columbia, Canada. It's a holiday here today. And we are going to be talking about living a wholehearted life. Today, we're speaking with Susan Reeve. She has 40 years of experience as a self-esteem expert, master coach, corporate consultant, interfaith minister, and award-winning author. And yet the title that best captures her wholehearted life is Godmother. As a teen, she wrote in her journal, "What would the world be like if everyone loved themselves?" This question informs her commitment to partner with clients and guide them in deepening and expanding their capacity to experience vibrant self-esteem and success in all arenas of their lives. She has been a delegate to the UN Commission on the Status of Women and an adjunct associate professor of management at New York University, focusing on leadership and interpersonal and group dynamics. And she is a member of the New Thought Center of Eastern Long Island and is one of the ministers offering the Sunday service message. So you can find her at susanreeve.com, and it's S-U-S-Y-N, Susan with a Y, Reeve.com. And the book we're discussing is her latest book, The Wholehearted Life, Big Changes and Greater Happiness, Week by Week. Welcome to the show, Susan.
It's so great to be here with you today, Marie.
Thank you so much. And you are stuck in your house in a snowstorm. So how are you living most wholeheartedly when things are totally out of your control right now?
I am feeling really cozy, happy to be inside, and glad that this is something that I had to look forward to today.
Yay! And the Skype seems to be working out too, so that's good. I'm happy.
Yes, I still can't get out of my driveway right now, so it's really a day to appreciate that I'm able to stay in the house. I have a computer here that works, and all is well.
Good. Wonderful. Well, let's get talking about your book. So this is a week by week. I guess the idea is to start in January, but since everyone's kind of, I imagine a lot of people are kind of giving up on their New Year's resolutions, so this is a good time to remind people of keeping themselves happy and healthy.
Yeah, this is a book. It's a book that you can do over the course of a year if you are disciplined to focus on a particular chapter week by week. I think it's a really great book to do with a friend or a small group and support one another through that process of going through. I'll just give you some of the chapter titles: breathe, have a new thought, smile, smell the flowers, eat dessert first, write your obituary, be the world's greatest lover. So there are a variety of different areas of focus that ultimately have us be aligned in body, mind, and spirit.
Beautiful. Well, I like the chapter. Well, I mean, there's 52 things to go through. And so you have a little bit to do each day too, right?
Yeah, each chapter has an inspiring quote, has an essay about the concept that the chapter focuses on. Some chapters have personal stories or teaching stories that have influenced me throughout the years. And then 7 days of exercises to practice that particular idea during the week. And some of the exercises are very quick and simple to do, just to give you a sampling of what it's like to focus on this particular concept.
Mm. And now you mentioned you can go through it every week if you have discipline. So what about for like most of us who don't have discipline? How do we do that?
Well, what I find with myself, as well as with many of my clients and people who have told me how they're using the book, is they start out with, I'm going to start with week one, and by week two or three, or by day two or three or week one, they have lost some of the momentum. So one of the ways that I use it is I keep it by my bedside table, and I open it randomly. And more often than not, I find I just opened it randomly to a chapter that says, be kind, and a story about a beautiful summer afternoon, which is making me laugh on this snowy day. But to open it randomly and read that page, and then ideally commit to one action to take that day that keeps you focused on the particular concept for the day.
Hmm. Well, I was looking through your book last night, and one of the chapters that really jumped out to me is the one about hugs, because I love hugs. I love getting hugs, giving hugs, and sometimes people are a little bit weird about hugs. So can we talk about how to get and give more hugs?
Sure. A friend of mine many years ago had given me the acronym for HUGS, which is, her name is Susan Ivory, and she called it Heartfelt Unconditional Gratitude. And, you know, unfortunately, many of us have discomfort around our bodies, which then makes it uncomfortable to both give and receive hugs. You've probably had the experience, Marie, of somebody gives you a hug, but you can tell that they're stiff and uncomfortable.
Yeah, why even bother giving them a hug? It's like, ooh.
Well, and there's concern about getting too close to another person's body, having somebody too close to my body. Mm. And so I'm from a family that wasn't that demonstrative physically. So it really took work for me to get comfortable truly embracing someone. You know, it was always easy to do with the children in my life. But another adult, I had questions of, does this person want me to hug them? Is it okay if I hug them? What will they think if I hug them? So my attention was what the other person might think of. In the meantime, I was the one who was experiencing discomfort. And I find now, after decades of practice, that I simply allow myself to sigh into a hug, whether I am receiving it or I am giving it, to really embrace. And it certainly does not have to be a sexual thing, but to really feel the warmth of another human. Mm-hmm. In celebration, in greeting, in a time when we're going through a difficult time, to be held in a warm embrace is such a delightful feeling.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned it doesn't have to be a sexual thing, and I noticed, because I'm a very huggy, friendly person, and a lot of people take it the wrong way, especially people of the opposite sex. The other night, there was something that kind of triggered me, and I was out with a male friend, and I told him I needed a hug, and I kind of leaned into him and hugged him. And after that, I felt right away the energy change. He was kind of trying to put his arm around me, and it felt like he, I guess, thought that that was some kind of intimate invitation. So I'm wondering if you have any tips on how to make it clear that it's a friendly hug.
Yeah, and sometimes we have to say that directly. I mean, sometimes we have to say to a friend, oh, I'd love a hug, and this is a friendly hug. I know you're a man and I'm a woman, or dependent upon your sexual orientation, whatever that may be. Because it isn't, you know, certainly a hug can be sexual, but there are so many there are so many taboos in our culture about touching and about physical connection that it's not unusual that a sexual connotation will pop up into somebody's mind. I feel now, as I'm older, I often feel when I hug that I'm doing a grandmother's hug. And that has a certain feeling for me. But I think we have to be very clear in our relationships about what our intent is and understand that other people, another person, can have a totally different association with what we're doing.
And it's interesting that especially, I don't want to generalize too much, but women tend to be more natural with touching, so we get more physical touch. So sometimes if I give a man a hug, that might be the only hug he's had in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's a really important point. And, you know, again, there are taboos in our culture about men hugging men. And so, I think you and I both know how delicious it feels both to give and to be the recipient of that warm embrace, that unconditional loving embrace that has no strings attached, that has no ulterior motives other than, I'm so happy to see you. I'm so happy to celebrate you. I'm glad that I'm able to embrace you at this difficult time.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe if we all gave, because some of the things you're talking about, getting and giving 10 hugs a day,
yes,
seems like a lot. If we all went out and gave and got 10 hugs a day, then hugging would probably become a little more natural.
Yeah, you know, I was in New York City last week, and I did see there was a group of people gathered on a corner. I was waiting to cross the street, and somebody was holding a sign that said, free hugs. Mm-hmm. And there were people hugging one another. I mean, with so much strife going on in the world, with so much stress, to have that simple human connection is such a gift that we both give and receive. And as I said, for me, it took years of practice to to become comfortable too easily. You know, I find in some of the groups that I lead, after 2 days of being with a particular group of people, I want to hug the people in that room. And I find that some people are very open to it, and other people, I ask if it's okay if I give them a hug.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to read that body language, too, because often you can tell if someone is open to a hug or not.
Yes, yes. You know, if somebody greets you right away and comes over with open arms, it's very different than somebody greeting you, putting their hand out for a handshake. So if a hug seems as though it's too much of a leap, then hug with your hand in terms of really give it your all when you're shaking someone's hand. You know, allow yourself to feel that other person's hand. Not just, somebody has shook my hand, and, you know, it just feels like kind of this, like, limp fish. You know, that they're, I don't know if that's the best description, but they're not there. But it's such a gift when we allow ourselves to connect. Mm. And physically is one dimension of connection.
Beautiful. Well, if you have anything to say about hugs, I'm curious to know. 604-822-2487. We're going to a break right now. So if you do want to get on the air and talk about your experience giving or receiving or needing more hugs, give us a call right now, 604-822-2487, so I can get you queued up during the break. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. We're speaking with Susan Reeve. She's the author of The Wholehearted Life, Big Changes and Greater Happiness, Week by Week.
The Sustainability Fair is a celebration of student engagement and initiatives in sustainability. We aim to inspire everyone to get involved with sustainability in their own personal way. With activities and displays, participants will explore involvement opportunities and learn how to incorporate sustainability in studies, work, and lifestyle. Visit the fair this February 10th from 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. in the UBC Student Union Building, Main Concourse.
A man of average height got out of a black sedan holding a baseball bat. He approached a dark-haired woman, hit her in the head, then hit her again as she fell to the ground. He continued to beat her ribs, chest, legs, and face until she lost consciousness. He then hit her again, got into his car, and drove away. This is a scene from a video game played by millions. If we want violence against women to stop, shouldn't we stop treating it like a game? Join the conversation at #NotOkay.
This is the sound of compost and recyclables going into the garbage. Garbage that ends up in the landfill creating greenhouse gases. This is the sound of a more sustainable campus. You can make a difference when you sort it out. Learn more at sustain.ubc.ca/sortitout.
All right, welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Happy Family Day. Give your family a hug. And I don't really have any family, so I'm going to have to find someone else to hug. This evening, I'm going to a comedy show with some friends, so I'll be able to hug lots of friends. But yeah, if you're lacking in family or your family is far away, find someone to hug today if you can. Maybe ask permission first if they're a stranger. Sark actually, Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy, she's been on the show before, and she talked about one day she was in the grocery store and she was about to have some kind of binge. And she realized that she just needed a hug. So she asked a stranger in the store, please, I'm about to buy a bag of potato chips and eat them all. I just need a hug. Would you give me one? And they did.
What a great story.
That woman has guts, I have to say.
That's really great.
So moving on from hugs, is there anything else you want to say about hugs?
I encourage you to put notes on your smartphone or on a post-it on your computer screen and a reminder to hug. And if there's nobody there to hug, give yourself a hug. Embrace yourself.
Hmm. I like that. Yeah, you can get a boost of oxytocin just by touching your own skin, right?
Yes.
Yeah, hugs give you oxytocin too, so that's good. Well, let's talk about living abundantly, which is week 23. Live abundantly. Having lots of hugs is part of being abundant.
It certainly is. And, you know, so it's so easy to think that abundance is automatically related to our bank account, is automatically related to the amount of money we have or the things that we have. But abundance is really a state of mind. Abundance is, do we feel supported in our life? And I find that it's really valuable when we're exploring abundance to start out with, what are the riches that exist in my life right now? You know, I'm grateful that I have heat in my house on this very, very cold day outside. I'm grateful that I have access to electricity. You know, I'm grateful for my health, for my friends. I'm grateful for a refrigerator with food in it. To really start looking at what is it that I have in my life, because the lack of abundance is focused on what's lacking, always seeing what's missing. And I just want to add something about saying what's missing. There are times when it's valuable to have this rocket of desire. Oh, I'd really like to go on a vacation to a warm beach on a cold summer day. I mean, on a cold winter day. You know, to have that sense of desire and to set that intention. But it's very different to go through our lives on a daily basis and constantly be focused on what's missing.
Mm. Yeah, I feel a lot of people, I think, myself, anyone who deals with any kind of obsessive thoughts or depression or anything like that, which I do, I tend to, I notice that it's more automatic for me to focus on what's missing, even though I could have a great day and one person looks at me weird. And I will, if I let it, it'll ruin my day.
Exactly. It's, you know, I hear from people sometimes who have made a to-do list. And let's say there are 10 tasks on that list to complete. And in the course of the day, they've completed 8 of them. And rather than celebrating the accomplishment, they're focused on what they didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally have stopped making to-do lists. And I now write done lists.
Oh.
I put my tasks in the past tense. And it's a mind game that I play with myself that gives me energy to really believe, yes, I can get this done. And I, you know, just as I said, I had to learn to really fully engage in hugs. I also had to learn to stop focusing solely on what's missing and what's lacking, and appreciate what exists in my life. Because as I'm sure you know, Marie, the creative process requires that I have to, in my thoughts, in my feelings, in my actions, I have to be a magnet for that which I desire. Our goals aren't outside of ourselves, that there's someplace I have to get to. They come to form just the way a child comes to form, just the way an infant comes to form, from inside of us. And so living abundantly means truly having faith that there's no dream that I'm given that can't be accomplished if I have faith and if I take action.
Hmm. It's interesting. We were talking about hugs and living abundantly, and it reminded me of this story because you mentioned how a lot of us think abundance means how much cash we have.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a guy in LA. I mean, I'm sure LA is full of guys like this, but a guy in LA who is basically a couch surfer, homeless, but he gets to crash on the sofas of the rich and the famous and all of that because he's fun. He shows up, he has a good time, he's got a roof over his head, and it gets to hang out with swankier people than we'll probably ever meet just because he shows up and has a good time.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I've traveled a lot, and I've met a lot of people in the past 45 years, and I am constantly being invited to stay at people's homes. And it is because... And there's no doubt in my mind, it's because of my attitude. It's because I'm appreciative. It's because I'm helpful when I'm there. And so, you know, we have this idea that in order for me to acquire a particular thing, the only way I can get that is if I work for it, make money, and then I'm able to buy it. That is one way. It's so interesting that when we are aligned in our body, mind, and spirit, and when we have a clear vision and see the result accomplished, that new avenues open for our dreams to be met through the path of least resistance.
But that is easier said than done if you are caught up in this. I mean, I do this show every week and there's mm-hmm. always wonderful insights and most of the time I leave feeling awesome. But then, you know, by the end of the day or by tomorrow, I have this habit of sort of being back in that like nose to the grindstone rat race. I've got to produce results in order to get what I need rather than just trusting and feeling supported. So, I mean, it's easy for us to say, oh, yeah, when you're doing that and you're in the flow, it all comes together. But if you're hearing that and you're not in the flow, it's kind of like, well, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, or that works for you, but it doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is really a software upgrade. You know, I've had years of, in my life, of at times feeling that my dreams are bigger than me. Not believing I can really accomplish them. I mean, writing a book is, when I wrote my first book, people said to me, how long did it take? And I said, 20 years of wanting to, and then 9 months once I believed I could. And so you're absolutely right. I certainly have those experiences where I'm gung-ho about something, I'm raring to go. I'm hearing that still small voice within giving me direction. And then I meet an obstacle. And often, yes, my default is, oh, this is just too hard. And that's why we each have to discover what it is that we need in order for us to shine light on our connection with source, with our vision, and with others. I know that I need a community of support. I know that I need a daily practice. Does it mean I do the daily practice every single day? No. What happens is I start doing it every day. I feel good, and then I get a little lazy. So I'm in a wonderful position is that I have a program called 30 Days on Purpose. And I send out emails and guided visualizations to people who register for this program. And I get to stay focused on it that way. You know, for others, it's a walk in nature or doing some kind of physical exercise or praying or opening up a book and reading inspiring words or doing a hobby that you love or wearing things that remind you to take a breath, all is well. And this takes practice. And I think what's most important is that when we start to spiral down that rabbit hole, that we don't judge ourselves for that, that rather we notice, I'm going on a downward trend right now, and acknowledge ourselves for noticing. Because I have found for me the uncomfortable feelings that I feel, whether I give them an emotional name like anger, disappointment, hurt, sadness, or I give them a physical name, knots in my stomach, tightness in my neck and shoulders, that these are identifying my growing edge. It's a place that's a call for greater love, starting out by me loving me. Hmm. That was just a mouthful.
No, I love that, because that's something that I need to remind myself of every day, because I get onto, like we're talking about, focusing on the positive rather than what's missing. I mean, I will have a day where I feel like I've done some, you know, made a mistake, or I'm not as positive as I could be. And then what I sometimes do, often do, is beat myself up for it. But if I look back and I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not perfect yet. But 20 years ago, feeling like this, I wouldn't have been able to get out of bed for 3 weeks.
Yes.
Now I get up and I might not want to get up, but I get up and I have a shower and I do what needs to be done. And I might not do as much as I'd like, but I do the minimum, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I need to be okay with that, rather than I'm only doing the minimum. It's not enough.
Yeah. And it's that sense of it's not enough, whether it's about the tasks that we do, or if it's the experience we have of ourselves. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not wealthy enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not old enough. Whatever it is. It's this idea that we're not enough and that we haven't done enough that drains energy. I mean, one of the chapters in this book is about acknowledging accomplishments. And I encourage people to choose something that they are already doing. Mine, since 1982, has been brushing my teeth. And I can tell you, yes, there have been some times that it's easy for me to brush my teeth in the morning because my mouth tastes yucky. But there have been some times since 1982 that, you know, brushing my teeth has just been too much to have to do. And there have been other times that I put the toothbrush under the water and held it to my two front teeth. Yet, in this period of time, I have associated brushing my teeth with accomplishment. So an accomplishment symbol is something that you are already doing, not something that you think you should be doing, not something that you think you'd be a better person if you did it. So one of my clients years ago said, she was so excited, she said, I chose an accomplishment symbol. She said, it's peeing. Every time I pee, I say, good for me.
Oh.
Now, I mean, isn't that she played with it? And because when we begin to experience ourselves through the eyes of accomplishment, and that's EYE as well as the capital I, then there is a momentum in acknowledgement that gets us going. You know, it's a reason to start something on your done list that's easy to do, rather than starting with the most difficult thing that you will need the most energy to take a step to do.
That is just so funny, the peeing thing. It's like,
yeah.
If you get it, you know, it's a cold winter morning and you're just almost like, oh, just don't get up.
Yeah.
But we get up like a big boy or a girl and we go and we do it. That is an accomplishment some days.
Oh, yes. I did not want to get out of bed this morning. It was cold. It felt cold in the house and I was negotiating with myself.
Well, I'm proud of you for getting up and using the potty.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yes. Good for me.
Yes. Oh, that's so funny. Well, I've been using your book just like you had suggested, opening it up randomly. And the page that I just opened it to is Use Your Feelings as Your Guide. So is there anything else you want to say about abundance before we move on to feelings?
No, I think There are some wonderful YouTubes. If you go to YouTube and just put in the word abundance and see what comes up, you know, shake your buns a little bit and do an abundance dance. Those are my final words on abundance today.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about using your feelings as your guide. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, you know, the idea behind this is thoughts charged with emotional energy, spoken of with authority, you are the author of them, and acted on with conviction, acted on with faith, is one way to describe the creative process. Now, we have more thoughts in the course of a day, probably in the course of 5 minutes, than we can possibly track. But what goes on, whether our thoughts are conscious or unconscious, our thoughts create an electrical impulse in our bodies, which then results in a sensation. And we're used to giving those sensations emotional names: happiness, sadness, anger, hurt, disappointment, peace. And so when we use our feelings as our guide, we can say, oh, we feel some tightness in our stomach, or we're feeling sad. If we want to uncover the thoughts, the programming that's running us, we can, and this can be done as a written exercise initially, and then you become good at it. You can do it in your mind. You can write, when I am feeling, and you jot down what's the emotional name for the feeling as well as the physical sensations. And then the second part of it is, I am believing. I am believing about myself. I am believing about this situation or another person. And I am believing about life. And you look, you approach this with a sense of curiosity, not to judge what you're believing, keeping in mind that what are beliefs? Beliefs are simply thoughts that we've thought over and over and over and over again, so we've come to accept them as truth. They're simply thoughts. And so we look at the thoughts that we have, and do they support our wholehearted life vision? Do they support the intention that we have for this day or this part of the day? And if they don't, what is a new thought that you can have? And then when that sensation surfaces again and you notice it, that is, in a sense, a cause for celebration. You are awake to the feeling, which can then direct you to the thought.
Mm. And one of the things I noticed too is that for me, I feel like I really need to remind myself to follow my own feelings, follow my own gut feelings, because what I'll do is I'll get up in my head, mm-hmm. and then I'll start thinking about all this stuff, and I'll ask friends what they think. I'll talk to my therapist about it, or whoever, you know, or some kind of, even talk about it on the show. And when we talk about it in a logical way, there's always perspectives and ways to look at it where you don't really have all of the information. Like, your inner knowing kind of has all the information. It's the little nuances, and it's the pheromones, and it's everything that you're experiencing when you're dealing with that situation.
Exactly. Well, here's what's been important for me to come to know, and that is my intuition, the still small voice, the loving energy of the universe, my higher knowing, whatever name you give to that, speaks in very simple, very clear, very direct sentences. Go here, turn right, do this. The voice of our ego, of our mind, has all of this justification and has a whole story about it. Now, there are times that it's of value to get information from other people, because sometimes it helps me discover what's really true for me when I hear other people's opinions. The danger is I stop valuing my own knowing if I think other people know more than me. People have opinions. And they're really telling us how they would do things. And so that's why I have found that having a journaling practice is helpful for me. Again, it's not something I do every single day now. But when I do it, it really helps me. I like to think of the word write, W-R-I-T-E, as also R-I-G-H-T. It makes things right for me. So if you get a lot of opinions, you can then do some journaling on what's my next step to accomplish A, B, or C. But we really have to learn how to value what's true for ourselves. I've lived an extremely unconventional life. I've traveled a lot, and I've also had, you know, from the outside, from my professional bio, it looks like an extremely conventional life. I've traveled a lot. I've lived in different places. I've been married. I've been single. I've raised stepkids. Just a variety of things. I've left work that wasn't satisfying for me, started my own business. Now, this is my way. It doesn't mean that it's right for somebody else. And for each of us, our journey, as I see it, is to uncover, to discover, what are my gifts, talents, and skills, and how can I best express them? Because just as an orchestra needs all different instruments, the universe needs all different gifts and talents expressed. You know, there's something else that's just popped into my mind. When I was in graduate school, I had a professor who said that for this semester, you cannot ask questions. You must say everything as a statement. So rather than saying, can you tell me more about that? It might be my saying, I don't understand that, and I would really like more information or an example. It was having to make statements to get clear about what was true for me. And it just popped into my mind.
No, I like that. Well, I flipped to another chapter, and that one, week 38, is give compliments. I really love that one because so many times you'll just be talking with someone or walking down the street and you'll notice something like, oh, I really like that person's energy, or I love her scarf or whatever. And we just keep our mouths shut.
Yes.
And, you know, how lovely is it to receive a genuine compliment?
I'm laughing because I overheard a conversation again on the street in Manhattan last week. There was a man who I'd say very well dressed probably in his 50s, and he was with a young child, 7 to 9 years old. And I heard him asking the boy he was with about how to use FaceTime, and that he has it on his phone and doesn't know how to use it, has never used it, and then asking the young boy how did he know how to use it. And I found it to be such a delightful conversation that I turned around and said, what a great conversation this is. And I complimented the young boy. I complimented the man who was with him for his interest in learning to do something new. And it is such a gift to acknowledge something that we appreciate, or a beautiful piece of jewelry, or a haircut. The challenge in this is that many of us have to learn how to accept compliments. I mean, have you ever had the experience, you say to a friend, "Whoa, your hair looks so great today." And she said, "Well, I had a cut. It's really too short. It's going to look good in 2 weeks." And I've gotten into the habit over the years, and I say it without any attitude. It's just, I just gave you a compliment. Mm-hmm. It's to wake people up from their automatic, the desire for a compliment, and then the difficulty of receiving.
Yeah, it's like the yeah, but.
Exactly. And what that does then, it teaches the person who's giving the compliment not to give you compliments anymore. You're really saying that my complimenting you and your hair really doesn't matter, doesn't count, it isn't right. And what do we all yearn for? We all yearn for recognition. We put so many rules on what it should look like and who gives it to us and when we should get it. You know, the appropriate response to, I have two responses to compliments. One of my responses is thank you. And another response, if somebody recently commented on a bracelet that I love that I often wear, and he said, well, that's really a beautiful bracelet. And I said, yeah, I love it too.
Yeah, then you get to mutually enjoy it.
Yes, exactly. And so in that chapter, I'm encouraging people to give a lot of compliments.
And genuine compliments, of course.
Yes, not going through the motions of just saying the words. And, you know, sometimes we give compliments by write a note to somebody. Let them know what you appreciate about them. You know, it's the time of year where Valentine's Day is coming up. Well, so we're used to thinking about Valentine's Day in terms of romantic love, but it's a holiday to celebrate love. Who are the people in your life who you love? Let them know that, and let them know specifically what it is that you love about them.
That's the thing, because so many, it's easy to say, oh, I love you. But when you break it down, there's actually a Hallmark ad on YouTube right now with this same-sex couple talking about because they say they love each other. And then the maker of the video says, well, what specifically is it that you love about this person? And they get really specific about, you know, the way she dances in the living room. And the, you know, just the silly things that, and you're watching this video and it's so emotional because you're really getting to the root of what they appreciate about each other.
Yeah, I had an experience during the summer. I was dating someone and I was actually doing the final edit of this book. And I was just feeling so filled with love and appreciation. And I wanted to call him and tell him what I appreciated about him. And I felt kind of uncomfortable about doing that at first. I don't know if it was because it was, you know, I would be more vulnerable if I did that. But I started laughing at myself at one moment. I was talking with a girlfriend about this and said, oh, what do I think? It's going to be easier if I call him and tell him what I don't like about him. And I just giggled at myself and I made the phone call and it was such a sweet, sweet conversation. And what a gift that we give to someone to let them know specifically who we see them as.
I'm just sitting with that for a moment. I love that. I'm trying to make this a habit too of being more specific. Like, it's great to say, I love you. You're awesome. You're the best. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. But when you can really get specific about what you like about a person, not only do they really feel a lot more seen, but it's also, especially in dating or friendship or any kind of relationship, the kinds of things that you appreciate about them, if you voice those things, that part of them is going to come out more. They're going to want to be that way more often.
Yes, yes. You know, this reminds me of one of the chapters in this book. It's the second to last chapter, which is called be the world's greatest lover. And I apprenticed with a wonderful teacher, Don Miguel Ruiz, the author of The Four Agreements. I apprenticed with him for 2.5 years, many years ago. And he would often say, there are 1 million ways to express your love. And I heard those words and I heard those words. And then one day, I heard them in a whole different way. And I decided that I was going to spend that day looking and seeing all the different ways people express love, including myself. And I started seeing things like somebody holding a door open for somebody else who was carrying heavy groceries, somebody complimenting someone, people walking down the street holding hands. I mean, there were just so many different ways. And while certainly there's one association with being the world's greatest lover, which is, you know, making love a sexual focus, and that's certainly something that's delicious and delightful, but we get to express our love throughout the day with the smallest of gestures, making eye contact with the cashier in the supermarket, saying thank you, thanking the bank teller for letting us know what our balance is. I mean, whatever it might be, to really practice who would you be in your thoughts, words, and actions if you were the world's greatest lover?
Well, that's just in time for Valentine's Day. And when you talk about, you mentioned we might interpret that, because when I saw that, the world's greatest lover, that's the first thing I thought of is mm-hmm. sex, which is great to be a giving lover and an appreciative lover. But if you go out and are a lover of people and an appreciator of what's wonderful in the world, your sex is going to be better too. And you're going to probably get a lot more of it.
Absolutely. And it also gives us the opportunity to take a look at what are the conditions I place on being loving. You know, I can be loving to somebody who has my same political beliefs, but not with somebody who sees the world differently. I can be loving if you remind me of my sister, but if you remind me of a friend who I don't get along with, then I can't be loving towards you. I can be loving if we're of the same race or cultural background. You know, to really take a look at what are those conditions that not only that I place on being loving towards others, but that I place on being loving towards myself.
And I find also being loving, being appreciative, giving compliments, all of that. If I am in a funk and feeling low energy, if I give energy to someone else and not in a, not in that kind of bottomless pit of giving martyr type energy, but like I get on the bus and I give the driver a big smile and say, good morning. I feel like crap. Well, as soon as I've done that and he feels a little bit better, I actually get energy back from him.
Yes. Yes. I mean, one of the ways to get out of our own way is to give love, whether it's in the form of acknowledgement, it's a compliment, it's gratitude. But to pick our head up and be present in this moment where I am, on the bus, in the store, in the workplace, give someone a compliment. I mean, I have found so often when I'm around people who are really, really negative, for years I would then go into judgment and righteousness that I had a much better attitude, until one day I realized that my better attitude was I was really judging. And what I've often done when I find a conversation gets very gossipy or very complaining, I might say to somebody, and I have to say this with no attitude within me, so I often have to take a few deep breaths and remind myself that I'm here to expand my capacity to be, give, and receive love. And I'll say something to them like, whoa, that scarf that you're wearing is really beautiful. And I can change the conversation and the energy with something as simple as that, because that loving energy is contagious. And that loving energy can embrace all of the gossip and negative stuff and transform it.
Mm. I love that. Well, we're almost out of time, and I've been meaning to put your name out there again. We are speaking right now with the conversation's just been so fun that I've totally forgotten, but we are speaking right now with Susan Reeve, and you can find her at susanreeve.com, but her name is spelled with a Y, SusynReeve.com, susanreeve.com. We're talking about her book, The Wholehearted Life, Big Changes and Greater Happiness Week by Week. And it's such a pleasure speaking with you, Susan. Thank you so much for your loving energy. And we have just a few minutes left in the show, and I'm wondering where you want to take these last few minutes.
Yeah, thank you. And it's what's become most important to me these days is that we're always on the path. You're never off the path. There are just times that it seems as though you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And what is crucial is to say yes to it all. So when you're going through a dark time, a difficult time, a challenging time, know that you are at a growing edge, a leading edge. It doesn't have to be a bleeding edge. And allow yourself to ask for help. Allow yourself to acknowledge what you're feeling. You know, I like to think of it this way. If you use a GPS, you must put in your current location in order to get to your desired location. And so if you're feeling terrible, acknowledge that you're feeling terrible. And by doing that, that simple act of acknowledgement and noticing will begin to open up the door for you. We'll begin to shine light on greater love in your life. We are all doing the very best we can at every moment, and it's up to us to truly embrace that we are each mighty expressions of love in the world. And for many of us, myself included, I've had to learn what that means for me. So those are the thoughts that pop into my mind, Marie.
Mm. Well, I really appreciate that. And, you know, I want to give you some compliments. I really appreciate your fun energy and the way, you know, you're stuck in the snowstorm and you couldn't get to a landline. Normally, I don't let people call in from Skype, but this worked out well. The sound has been great. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate you being willing to share your energy even on a cold and snowy day there. And yeah, it's just really such a pleasure talking to you and learning from you and experiencing your enthusiasm for the work that you do and for loving people and people just having more wholehearted lives.
Mm. Thank you so much. Well, and this, what an honor it is for me to have this bright light, this conversation with you today in the midst of a very gray day outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm, thank you so much. Well, so where is the best place for people to pick up your book, The Wholehearted Life?
Well, you can certainly find it on Amazon. And I encourage you, if there is a bookstore in your neighborhood that you love, go to the bookstore. If they have it on the shelf, certainly get it there. And if they don't have it on the shelf, ask them to order it. It's distributed through the major distributors, so bookstores can get it. And I believe that there's something for everyone. And I wrote it as a love letter, as the wisdom of an elder. And this is what I want to share. And, you know, life is precious. And we either can feast on it, or we can feel as though no matter what we do, it's never enough. I've mastered the unhappiness and misery in my life. I don't think it needs any more practice. So I encourage people to feast on this magnificent buffet that's before you.
Hmm. Well, it's been so much fun talking with you. So SusanReeve.com, SusynReeve.com. You mentioned something about emails. Should people sign up for your mailing list?
Absolutely. And they can do that at SusanReeve.com. Absolutely. I'd love to share some of the things that I do. Particularly, I'm in love right now with 30 Days on Purpose.
And actually, DJ Chris Horrific is celebrating Family Day with his family, so we're not in a rush to get off the air. If you have a minute to tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes. 30 Days on Purpose is a program that I have that will be starting again at the beginning of March. I'm just finishing up a 30-day group, and it's every day you get an email that comes with, most of them have guided visualizations. Each day there is an affirmation, and so it's, I am deserving, I am worthy, I am playful, I am loving, I am, today's affirmation was, I am awake. And there are some questions to focus on. There's a Facebook community. It's a way for you to focus on, really, it's about focus. Whatever it is, for some people, it's about getting more clarity about what a wholehearted life means to them. For other people, it's about accomplishing very specific tasks. And it's a program that I love. And if you're interested in it, you can email me at Susan, S-U-S-Y-N, at SusanReeve.com, and just write 30 days on it, and I will send you information about it. But I now have a call with a client, so I'm going to have to say goodbye.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Susan. Have a wonderful day, and happy Valentine's Day.
Same to you. Thank you, Marie.
Take care.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye. So that was Susan Reeve. You can find her at SusanReeve.com, S-U-S-Y-N. And her book is The Wholehearted Life. Chris isn't here to shout out namaste behind my back, so I get to say it all by myself. But I hope that you have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. Have a fabulous Valentine's Day, whether you're loving others or loving yourself. Enjoy the day. Be well. I love you so much. Namaste.